Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. As we were going on the air, Ron Paul was going off the air on CNN, and I'm looking forward to a fascinating conversation today with a conservative Christian pro-life activist from the state of Washington, and this is Michelle McIntyre. She's a wife, a mother, and a pro-life Republican activist committed to keeping the Republican Party pro-life. Now, that's quite a goal, but an honorable goal, and strategically working to end legalized abortion in America. And on her blog, which is, it's a great blog. She's got a good name, Life of the Party. Life of the Party, your pro-life Republican activist in Washington State. She writes that, I'm looking forward to a discussion with Bob Enyart on the radio in Denver. Potential topics will include the RNC, John McCain, Sarah Palin. And if you've been watching this blog for my opinion on McCain's VP pick, listen in. Washington State's assisted suicide ballot initiative, and most likely the one and only topic on which we will disagree, Ron Paul, who just happened to be on CNN just in this past half hour. So welcome to Bob Enyart Live. Michelle McIntyre, great to talk to you again, Michelle.
Hi, Bob. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Why don't we take your list in order so that we could start out with the things that we agree about, many things. John McCain, is he against abortion? Does he believe in the right to life of unborn children?
Well, he certainly says he does, although, you know, his record on his speech, even there, hasn't been consistent. As we know, he once said he did not think that Roe versus Wade ought to be overturned. He also favors exceptions for the cases of rape and incest.
Yes, and Michelle, as Steve Curtis said this past week, exceptions are a window to a candidate's soul. And if they think a baby doesn't deserve to be loved or protected by law because his father's a criminal, you obviously know that they don't believe that the baby is a person, an innocent child.
So, that's right.
So it's a real serious problem. So, okay, so you were saying his rhetoric sometimes contradicts itself.
Yes, absolutely. And so, you know, I think for too long, pro-lifers have just given a pass to such politicians who tell us one thing and then tell another group something else and then have these exceptions and you know, these loopholes, and for too long we've settled for that, and we're not ending abortion yet.
Well,
how many years?
Yeah, right. 40 years in Colorado, 41 years. Let's go back 10 years, and then this past week at the RNC, 10 years ago, John McCain told the San Francisco Chronicle that he was against overturning Roe v. Wade because it would force women to kill their babies, unborn babies, other ways. And then his campaign was contacted by various journalists, and they asked, did you misspeak? Because the Christians say you're pro-life. And his campaign reiterated, John McCain did not misspeak. He's against Roe v. Wade being overturned. He's pro-life, but he's against Roe v. Wade being overturned. Fast forward 10 years, during the RNC, Cindy McCain was being interviewed by Katie Couric, and she was asked, well, what's your position on abortion? And Cindy McCain basically said the same thing her husband's been saying for years. I'm pro-life. Well, what do you think about Roe v. Wade? Oh, I don't think Roe v. Wade should be overturned. And then Katie Couric said, but your husband thinks Roe v. Wade should be overturned. And Cindy McCain, the candidate's wife, said, no, I don't think he does. And Katie Couric says, well, he told me he wants it overturned. And so then she said, Oh, yeah, it's a states' rights issue. So let's put that last part off till later in our conversation. But so here we have this contradictory rhetoric from the McCains, and it's been contradictory for his whole career. He wants to tell pro-lifers he's against killing children in the womb, but he refuses to acknowledge the right to life of the unborn.
That's right. In other words, he wants our votes, but he does not want to do anything about ending abortion.
That's exactly right. And we see it. He voted to fund surgical abortion for some unborn children that John McCain doesn't believe deserve to be loved or protected by law. And that was way, way back in 2005, October 27, 2005. So that's recent. He hasn't apologized for that. But National Right to Life says that John McCain has consistently voted against funding tax-funded abortion, but he has voted millions of dollars for chemical abortifacients, for surgical abortion, for Planned Parenthood and other abortion providers domestically and internationally. So how do you get from that he's against tax-funded abortion?
Well, I don't. But, you know, the question is, how do millions of pro-lifers get that?
Right.
And I, for this, I commend you and the American Right to Life for exposing the organization that's been at the top of the pro-life movement for so many years and has led us down the garden path.
Yeah.
That is the National Right to Life.
And
so I commend American Right to Life for that.
Well, thank you, Michelle. We're speaking with Michelle McIntyre, Life of the Party. And there's this blog service, typepad.com, typepad.com, typepad.com. And so Michelle's blog is Life of the Party, typepad.com. But Michelle, I think people could just Google Michelle and Life of the Party, and you pop up number one, I think.
I think so, or pro-life and Life of the Party, or Republican and Life of the Party. You'll
yeah.
get me.
And by the way, that is just a great, great name, Life of the Party. Pro-life activist in Washington State. Okay, so John McCain, he has long held that the unborn child doesn't have a right to life. He has refused to co-sponsor Senator Wicker's Life at Conception Act, which is right now pending in the U.S. Senate with 11 Republican co-sponsors, senators. John McCain has refused. He has refused to endorse Colorado's historic personhood amendment. He's refused. So he is an enemy of the personhood movement of the pro-life party. And he deceives the rest of the pro-life party by funding abortion and by telling us what we want to hear and then helping Planned Parenthood kill unborn children.
That's right.
So we're in a mess. We're in a mess.
I will add one more thing. The Republicans for Choice, who've been around for many years, and every 4 years when the Republican National Convention happens, there's a platform debate, and you know where they draft language, and it's adopted by the delegates of the convention. Republicans for Choice have been at the front of that battle every 4 years, and this year they're bragging that for the first time they have a candidate who is working with them. Now they didn't succeed in getting this language passed. They complained. The Republicans for Choice complained that there weren't enough McCain delegates on the platform. That these delegates came from other candidates,
right,
and refused certain language that said, we'll work with people inside, you know, inside the party who disagree with our views, right there within the Republican, or excuse me, within the pro-life plank, in other words, to basically null and void that plank. Well, they weren't successful, but Republicans for Choice believed that for the first time we finally have a candidate that's going to work with them.
That's right. In fact, they endorsed John McCain relatively early. It was 1 week, exactly 1 week, after Rudy Giuliani exited the race.
Right.
Then, because he's radically pro-abortion in every conceivable way. And
yes,
remember, Pat Robertson said about Rudy Giuliani, he was asked by, I forget if it was ABC News, what do they think about his candidacy? And he said, Rudy Giuliani is a good friend. He'd make a great president. And he defended him. He also defended forced abortion in China. So Pat Robertson, founder of the Christian Coalition, is, you know, off the reservation regarding immorality.
Yeah.
And so then we have now the Republicans for Choice endorsing John McCain practically early enough in the Republican primary cycle that you can see they were voting for a candidate. They were endorsing a candidate who they believed would help them keep abortion legal in America.
That's right.
Right. And, yeah, it's so blatant. And National Right to Life has received hundreds of thousands of dollars in payoff money from the RNC, from the Republican National Committee. And that's backwards. Normally, lobbying groups give money to politicians and political parties. Well, the Washington Post has documented how the Republican Party has given hundreds of thousands of dollars, and they've collected hundreds of thousands more. They actually did fundraising for National Right to Life. So the money flowed the other way, showing that National Right to Life is in the pocket of the Republican Party. They're just the Republican lobbying committee.
That's right.
So it's a great tragedy.
It is.
So, Michelle McIntyre, you haven't stated publicly your thoughts about Sarah Palin. And I'd like to make a comment about Sarah. I haven't said much about her on the show. And then I'd like to hear your thoughts. Is that all right?
Sure.
All right. Sarah Palin seems to be a lovely Christian woman who has a precious family. She has shared her testimony, her trust in Jesus Christ with people. I think it's sad that she misunderstands governance and principles of right and wrong so badly that she gave the homosexuals their most significant executive action in the state of Alaska when the state legislature drafted a law. I've read the law, and they passed it, and it said, we will not be forced to provide benefits to same-sex partners in the state of Alaska. And Sarah Palin vetoed that law under a very specious justification. So it was the most important executive action to promote the homosexual agenda in Alaska's history, and that was done this past year by Sarah Palin. So that was sad. And
right.
The second thought about Sarah Palin is that her first national influence is to whitewash a career-long child killer, a pro-choice Republican, and help whitewash him and make millions of Christian pro-lifers believe that he is Christian and that he is pro-life, which is the exact opposite of the truth.
Yeah, what a shame.
Yeah. So those are my thoughts about Sarah Palin, and she seems like a lovely Christian woman. She's unaware of what she is doing to hurt our country and her state.
That's right. My personal opinion about Sarah Palin, and I have not read the bill that you were discussing in Alaska about the homosexual issue, but everything I knew about her before, I really admired. I admire the fact that she's pro-life without any exceptions. Mm-hmm. She does believe that life begins at conception and there shouldn't be any exceptions mm-hmm. against abortion for rape or incest. I think she's a great leader as far as, you know, she's, mm-hmm. she's articulate, she's bright, she fights the corruption and all that.
She's funny.
I think that's all wonderful. Yeah, she's funny,
she's
very likable. And I think it's amazing all the hatred that's coming out towards her from the left.
That's right.
And I think there's a lot to that.
She's deflated.
The surface.
She's deflated the left.
She has.
I mean, right. They are into a corporate depression right now.
And,
which is funny to watch. It is funny to watch.
Yeah, and in so many ways, she's excited the base. And, you know, I think the base of the Republican Party is more excited about her than they are about McCain.
Oh, of course, overwhelmingly. I mean, the numbers of Republicans who said she made them more likely to vote for McCain, it's like almost 70% of Republicans.
Yes.
And the base, and what this shows is that if our Christian and pro-life leaders actually were principled and would actually lead, we do have the energy, the money, the momentum, the political clout to stop abortion in America, but they have consistently brought us down this path of supporting politicians who are very comfortable with Planned Parenthood and child killing, politicians who could coexist with Planned Parenthood for another 40 years. That's where our Christian leaders have led us. So instead of them insisting that the Republican Party candidates not support child killing, they're teaching millions of Christians to support candidates who support child killing, which is just devastating.
What you said there about pro-lifers and Christians having enough clout to end abortion, that is exactly right. And it's our leadership that leads us down this other path that keeps us from taking any action because sometimes we so blindly trust our leadership.
Yeah.
But if we actually follow our own conscience, we do have the clout. I mean, I have a hard time supporting John McCain, even with Sarah Palin on the ticket. Let me just say that. Because Sarah Palin will only be the vice president, not the president. And his policies will be the ones that carry. She'll be an apologist for his policies.
Well, yeah. And George W. Bush, for example, he's considered to be far more pro-life than John McCain. He filled his cabinet with pro-abortion leaders. He turned people into heroes who were unknown, who support killing unborn children. And there's no comparison between the two supposed public position. John McCain is so much more egregious than George W. Bush, whose record is horrendous. George W. Bush actually opposed South Dakota when they were so close to a statewide ban on child killing. And he said, nope, that's not my position. I don't endorse that. He's so committed to killing these few kids over here. He said, no, if you have to kill all the kids so that I can make sure that you can kill these kids, well, then so be it. Kill all the kids. And so exceptions are a window to a candidate's soul. They prove that the candidate is pro-life in order to deceive Christians into sending their money and their votes.
Right.
That's a great tragedy. All right. Could we talk? We don't know much here about Washington State's I-1000, their assisted suicide ballot initiative. I've followed it, but we haven't talked about it on the air. It's a great, great tragedy. You guys are following in the footsteps of Oregon, I'm afraid. So tell our audience about that.
Well, there's an initiative on the ballot to legalize assisted suicide for somebody who is determined to be six months away from death, terminally ill patients, and they can be given by their doctor a lethal dose. And, you know, I have not followed the issue as to be able to articulate it as well as I have with the abortion issue, but
sure.
I do know that, you know, a lot are concerned that, you know, with insurance plans, trying to save and cut costs, that just like in Oregon, some people have, through their insurance plans, have been told that, well, we can't give you this expensive treatment, but we can give you this lethal dose to help you kill yourself.
The horrendous reality that they're talking about killing innocent people, helping people commit suicide as a way of escaping their problems or their suffering. And suicide has become a leading killer of young people in America. Abortion is part of the reason. In fact, suicide is a significant cause of death for young girls in America. And when young people see adults saying that killing yourself is an acceptable way to deal with pain, then what happens is young people have pain too.
They sure do.
Yeah.
Mostly emotional pain.
Yeah, emotional pain. And you have a 14-year-old girl whose boyfriend leaves her and is dating her best friend, and you can't experience any more pain in all the world, no matter what you live through.
Unbearable, yeah.
Unbearable, right. And they go and kill themselves because the liberals in America have robbed the stigma away from killing yourself as a way of escaping pain or suffering or problems. And it's cowardly and it's selfish. It's devastating.
Right. And on top of that, it's, you know, it's asking others to get involved in you killing yourself. It's,
right.
Yeah.
That's right. And the medical community is all too willing to get involved in killing people for good reasons. That's why OBGYN's doctors so often mislead women and say, oh, your baby's severely deformed. Your baby, you have to have an abortion. And I can't tell you, over the years, Michelle, all the calls when that topic has come up on this show, women calling in saying, that happened to me. I told my baby would be deformed. He would die. I had to have an abortion. I refused. And I have a precious 5-year-old baby girl now.
Yeah.
So the doctors look for excuses to try to justify their guilty conscience. And they want to say, well, here's a really compassionate, loving reason why you have to abort your child. It's and the same thing now with suicide. All right. So, Michelle.
Yes.
Should we talk about the area that we disagree?
If you would like.
I would like to. It's
okay.
It's an important issue for American right to life. Because we believe that the right to life is unalienable, that is, it can't be transferred, that the oldest precedent for government is God's enduring command, do not murder, and no subdivision of government has the authority to decriminalize do not murder and say it's okay to murder blacks or Jews or babies or anyone else.
And I am in absolute agreement with that.
With all that. Okay, so Ron Paul, who in the past has worked with the Libertarian Party. This year, election cycle, he ran in the Republican primary. He raised $35 million, a huge...
And I will add, he's been a Republican congressman for, since what, 1976?
He's been a Republican congressman and a leader in the Libertarian Party. He spoke at their convention a few years ago. And... So, yeah, he's a Republican congressman, ran in the Republican primary, raised $35 million, and he's on CNN today talking about who people should vote for president, and he's urging people do not vote for Barack Obama and do not vote for John McCain. But he said who he would urge people to vote for. But before we get to that... our biggest criticism of Ron Paul is that he says that abortion is a state's rights issue. And there is no right to abortion. There's no right for any subdivision of government to say you can kill unborn children. So it's a complete misnomer and confuses the most fundamental truth of all government to say that killing an unborn child is a state's rights issue. There's no right involved.
Okay, I'd like to respond.
All right.
Ron Paul, I think, sometimes misstates his own position. And I say that based on reading his own piece of legislation that he's introduced repeatedly in Congress.
Yeah, and I have it in front of me.
Right, so do I. And when he calls it a state's rights issue, I think he makes a mistake in the way he phrases that. And other Ron Paul supporters agree, and one of them is actually running for Congress here, Michael Delavar in the state of Washington, it's more properly labeled as a state's enforcement issue. As you know, murder in general is illegal in all 50 states.
Right.
Right. Okay. It's considered common law that it's wrong to murder. But all 50 states have their own laws against murder, and they are enforced by their local and state governments.
They have murder statutes.
Right.
And typically in Colorado, murder cases are tried at a county court with county judges.
That's right.
County prosecutors.
That's right. And that, you know, our system of government is, you know, we're the United States of America, and, you know, there's certain things that are relegated to the states. Ron Paul does not believe that abortion should be legal anywhere. He believes that it's a state's enforcement issue. And even though he doesn't put it that way, he puts it as a state's rights issue. But even in his own legislation, which is at the federal level, his Sanctity of Human Life Act or Sanctity of Human Life Bill.
Right.
And I have what I think to be is the most recent version, which was in 2007.
I have that right in front of me. And Michelle, we only have a few more minutes. Maybe we have to conclude this next week. But the general argument is that it's the federal government that gave us abortion with Roe v. Wade.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, there are a dozen states beginning 7 years before Roe that began to legalize abortion. So abortion was legalized in the years before Roe v. Wade by a dozen states. And Ron Paul's Sanctity of Life Act explicitly states that the federal government cannot intervene if states like California and New York, Massachusetts, have laws permitting the killing of unborn children. The federal government has to remain uninvolved, apathetic, look the other way. And that is a great tragedy, because no subdivision of government should be put on notice that if you permit the killing of unborn children, we will not interfere.
Well, you know, I don't know if we can cover that whole section of it, but I would hope to spend a little more time on the first part of that.
let's do that.
Okay.
Let's plan next week continue the conversation.
Okay. Do we have time to go into the first part of that bill?
Go ahead, and then only about a minute or so.
Well, just for your listeners today, the first part of Ron Paul's bill that he's repeatedly introduced in Congress says, human life shall be deemed to exist from conception without regard to race, sex, age, health, defect, or condition of dependency. And the term person shall include all human life as defined in subparagraph A. So all throughout the law, then, human life is deemed to exist from conception. Right there, by stating that in the federal law, the unborn child becomes protected by the 14th Amendment.
Well, if that were true, and if Ron Paul believed in the U.S. Constitution, the Constitution states that no state shall deprive any person of life without due process, i.e.
Right.
being convicted of a capital crime. So he would require that the states not allow unborn children to be killed by Planned Parenthood. But his law explicitly says that our federal Supreme Court cannot review any statute regarding the performance of abortion. So if New York and California have a statute that say you can kill unborn children, Ron Paul is saying the 5th and 14th Amendment to the Constitution will not apply to those states or to the federal government's responsibility to enforce our Constitution to protect all innocent persons in our nation. So, Michelle, I'm looking forward to how you're going to answer this. I believe it's unanswerable that this is a violation of God's law and even the U.S. Constitution. But could we continue later next week?
I think so, yes. I
look forward to that. We're speaking with Michelle McIntyre, Life of the Party in Washington State. Just Google Life of the Party and Pro-Life, and her blog will pop right up. Michelle McIntyre, thank you so very much for joining us.
Thanks, Bob. It's a pleasure.
You're welcome. God bless you.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Ron Paul today on CNN, he was there with Ralph Nader. He said, Ralph Nader is a good friend, and while I'm not voting for him, I plan to get as many votes for him as possible. And then he said his goal is to take away votes from the Democrats and Republicans. And, of course, I consider that a great tragedy to tell anyone to vote for Ralph Nader, who's a child killer, pro-homo, socialist, anti-American as you can get. So when you go off on principles, there's no logical place to get back on unless you repent. Hey, our telethon, $2,700. Please help Bob and Yart Live, Maranatha Christian Center. What a great school in Arvada, Maranatha. May God bless you.